I'm going to say tonight, I might not say but very little. And I might not say anything at all. We read your text and see what God's got to say, see what the Lord says. But it's good to be here. I'm thankful for the privilege that we have to be in church, for the privilege we have to open up the Word of God and read His blessed book. Let's turn our Bible tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. And we'll look at a thought there possibly and try to bring a little thought that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight. It won't be much. I'm thinking sitting up here, if I was preaching in a revival meeting somewhere, this probably would not be something I'd preach. And if I was preaching in a jubilee or a camp meeting, it probably would not be something I'd preach. But that's what the Lord's laid on our heart for here. I believe it's something that we greatly need. I don't know whether we'll heed it or not, or whether I'll get the thought across the way I got it in my heart or not. But I want to try to bring it to you tonight, all right? Psalm number 78, let's stand together. Verse number 32, we'll begin reading there. And read down through verse number 41. Verse 32 down through verse 41. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. Boy, that's a real verse of Scripture. I got to thinking about that. Their days did He did consume in vanity. Absolutely a fruitless life is what that says. Just vanity. Everything they did was just simply vanity. And it said, when He slew them, then they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. You want to see what man is? There he is. He's just a wind that passes away and comes not again. He's just a vapor that is here for a little while and then vanishes away. He's like a blade of grass that springs up in the summer, but as soon as the sun has risen upon it, it's burnt and vanishes away. That's what the Bible says about man. He said, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now may God add His blessing to that. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful for the privilege to be back in the Lord's house tonight. God, I pray that You'll touch our heart and speak to our heart tonight out of the Word of God. Help us to see the great tragedy, Lord, of this generation and the great triumph of those that followed. Help us, I pray, O God, to see the love of God amidst it all. The grace and goodness of God. The guiding hand of God and His power upon His people. I pray tonight, Father, that You'll move our hearts again. That we might, as well as they, look across, Lord, into that Spirit-filled life and that promised land. And by the grace of God, put our feet in the water. And venture across to that land that is flowing with milk and honey. I pray tonight that You'll save sinners by Your grace. And God, that You'll bless and help and revive the people of God. I pray for some liberty, Lord, some power to preach the Word of God with tonight. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. I want to look at verse number 41, if I may, for just a little while tonight. Bible says there, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to preach for a little while tonight, and I may not preach long, maybe 15, 20 minutes. But I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me tonight, on the thought of never sound retreat. Amen. Don't ever sound retreat. You've heard Brother Hall say so many, many times, preaching and pastoring here, that the Christian life, then there's no place to turn back. Turning back will only bring heartache and trouble. And turning back will only further our discouragement. And turning back will only grieve the heart of God and bring problems and heartaches and troubles to those around us. While sitting there, really sitting at the house and pinning down a few of these thoughts today, I couldn't help but to think of the hymn that Brother George sang in the morning hour about the battle hymn of the Republic. That third verse said, "He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat." And yet in my text verse in the Bible, it says that they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Psalm 78, I said this maybe last week, I'll say it again. It deals primarily with Israel's deliverance from the land of Egypt. And you know, church, that's a blessed time that we ought to look back at. It ought to never, never escape the memory of our mind. I've read about where Paul, every time Paul would get before some dignitary in defense of his religion, he'd always remind that man about that day on the way to Damascus. He never failed to tell those people about the experience he had on the road to Damascus. And you know why? Because it was yet fresh in the heart of Paul. It was still a reality in Paul's life. It was just as new to him then as it was that glorious day when that light shined as bright as a midday sun upon Paul and convicted him of his sin and converted him by the power of God. I want to say that we ought to never lose sight of what God has done for us. We ought to never forget about the day that the Lord brought us out of that bondage down in Egypt. Friend, I remember how it was. I don't know about you, but I remember how it was. Living out yonder in the world, and the devil had his ring in my nose and led me about and made me believe that I was really having fun, when in reality it was some of the most terrible days of all of my life. I thought I was free and enjoying life and didn't have enough sense to know that I was in bondage to sin and Satan both. And I don't ever want to forget that day. But when God spoke to my heart and delivered me out of sin and brought me out of that house of bondage, out of the iron furnace, brought me across the Red Sea and pointed my face into the way of Canaan's land. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. Now, I may have, but I don't know of any time in my life that I've ever looked back. A friend, when I set my face to serve God, now, I'm saying this honestly and as humbly as I know how. I set my face like a flint to serve it. As far as I know, friend, I have never looked back and don't ever intend to. He's brought me across the sea, parted the water, set my feet on the other side, and Canaan land is in sight. And I'll tell you, that's where He wanted me. And that's where He wants you, and that's where He wants this church tonight, is over yonder in that land that is flowing with milk and honey. Where the grapes of Eskel grow, oh yes, and where the milk and the honey flow, where there's battles to be fought, but I'm glad, thank God, like He done at Jericho, He will fight our battles for us if we'll let Him do it, and I'll guarantee you, if God fights our battles, we'll always come out in victory. And that's basically this chapter. It's about Israel's deliverance from Egypt and their wilderness wanderings. And eventually they're crossing into the land of Canaan. I will say that it's difficult to detect in some of the verses just which phase of their experience is being referenced to. It's difficult to look at some of these verses and decide whether it was during their time in their deliverance out of Egypt, or whether he's referring to the time they wandered in the wilderness, or whether it's referring to crossing the Jordan River and occupying that glorious land of Canaan, that Spirit-filled life. Boy, I want to say there's nothing like it, being filled with the Spirit of God and enjoying the power of the Spirit of God and walking by His light and walking in His way and letting the Holy Ghost of God lead our lives and direct our lives and make decisions for us and give us grace in our families and grace at the church house and grace at the job where we work. There is nothing like, my friend, yielding your life to Christ and allowing the Holy Ghost of God to work and move and to control your very life. Let me ask you that tonight. Does God control your very life tonight? Every aspect of your life, your home life, your church life, your work life, the decisions you make, your financial life. Does God control your life tonight? Somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, you're going to present your body a living sacrifice. You'll be able to prove what's that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Some of these verses, difficult to correlate exactly what part of that journey that they're traveling on. But I tell you, verse 41 cannot be mistaken in its identity. The Bible said that, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. It must be in reference to Israel's turning back into the wilderness at Kadesh Barnea. God brought them to that place, sent out those spies, and Caleb and Joshua said, it's a wonderful land. Exactly what I'm trying to tell you tonight. It's a wonderful life. It's a blessed life. It's a glorious life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you may think you're there, but some of you in here have not been saved long enough to make your journey across and get there. And I'm telling you, if that's the case, you ought to set your sights on that land that is flowing with milk and honey. Don't ever tempt God. Don't ever turn back on God. Don't ever limit God. But trust God for the fullest in your life and go on into that land where the blessings of God can be upon your life. Amen. Now, I'm just following the spirit and the mood of the service. I didn't jump in the pews. Nobody else did. We were just kind of quiet, low-keyed, and that's exactly the way I'm going to preach. Hallelujah to God. But he's got to be referring to Kadesh Barnea, where God brought them there, and they turned back and went back into the wilderness. And there for 40 long years, God tried them and proved them. So that old generation died out, and that new generation ready for God to bring back to the Jordan River and bring into that land of promise. You know, I got to wondering today about those that died in the wilderness. They didn't all die at one time. They did not all die the first year they were there. They did not all die the last year they were there. But they died through a period of 40 long years. And I wonder what their children thought when mommy and daddy and uncle and aunt and others begin to die yonder in the wilderness. I thought it'd be a tragic thing for those children to have to watch with their eyes and see their own loved ones, their older family members, die out yonder in that wilderness without ever inheriting the land of promise, of the land of inheritance that God had promised to them. If you please, I'm sure those children said, Grandpa died as a carnal Christian, if there is such a thing. Grandpa, Grandma died in the wilderness. My daddy didn't make it.
My daddy has never seen the blessed realities of the fullness of God's Spirit working in a blessing in his life. I don't know about none of you, but I tell you, I want my youngest to see that. I want my grandyoungest to see it. I want them to know that Grandpa is saved by the grace of God. And that Grandpa has yielded his life to the Holy Ghost, my friend, and is willing to walk with God through troubled waters and through hard times and fight the battles of the Lord that we might have glorious victories in our life for to glorify Him. I want them to know that, Brother Doug. That's right. Hallelujah to God. I got to wondering what those children thought, what run through their mind. As they saw numbers, large numbers of people, for no apparent reason, died. They didn't starve to death. God gave them manna from heaven. Their shoes didn't wear out on their feet. God gave them shoes for the whole journey. I don't believe their clothes ever got moth-ridden or moth-eaten. God clothed them well through that journey. They never died of thirst. He gave them water out of the rock. But I'm telling you, they just died for no apparent reason. They just died and died and died and died, and they died as defeated people of God.
Yes. Amen. Died as defeated people of God. Well, Bible said there that they turned back, tempted God, limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what the text says. That word turn back does not mean to return to the original point. They never did go back down to Egypt. I don't believe that we've ever went back down to Egypt. But I'll be honest with you, I got thinking about preaching this. I got thinking about 96 and what happened in 96 and how God abruptly brought our 5-week revival with Brother Smith to an absolute halt. I mean, he just halted it. I got sick. Others got sick, bad weather moved in, snow fell, and it wasn't I that shut the meeting down, and neither was it Brother Smith that shut that meeting down, but I'm telling you, it was the Holy God that shut that meeting down, and I'm wondering if He didn't shut it down, because somewhere in the hearts of our people, that somebody said, they're going to turn back, I'm not going to go back to rock music, I'm not going back to drinking, I'm not going back to dancing. I'm not going back to the nightlife, but I'm just not going on with God. I got to thinking that may be it. According to that term, you look that up in your Strong's. It don't mean that they turned back to their original place. They didn't go back to Egypt. They just turned and went into the wilderness. If you please, they simply turned back and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They saw the giants and the walled cities and refused to fight the battles that they might enjoy the blessings. They sounded the sound of retreat. They just simply stood, and I'll be honest, I'd never heard it in the military. And I'm glad, thank God, I didn't. Oh, there, hey. There is never, we ought to never sound a retreat. We have a standard bearer. We have a guide on bearer. Our Lord Jesus, my friend, laid the cross upon His back, and like a true champion of the faith, walked those cobblestone streets of Jerusalem and never looked back, but He laid His life down to make men holy. And by the grace of God, you and I ought to lay our lives down to make them free, like the songwriter said. Never sound retreat. Bible said about our Lord that He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. I believe it was Isaiah said that He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Not one time did He ever sound retreat. That'd be a terrible sound, wouldn't it? To be in the battle and have the enemy engaged and all at once the trumpeter or the bugler begins to play a retreat upon that bugle, and the soldiers begin to turn back from the enemy and turn their backs on the enemy and begin to run.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that wouldn't be so bad. Hear me well, friend. Nobody but nobody has the authority to give that command to sound that retreat but the commander of the forces. And our God has never, no time, nowhere, ever will sounded retreat for us. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, buddy. Never sound retreat. Yay. Yay, the psalmist said, yay, get a hold of this. After they had sinned against God, after they had flattered God with their lips, after they had ignored the blessings of God, after all that, yay, think about it, yay. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I wrote this down. Brother Doug's got this written in his Bible. They sounded retreat. I wrote down, when you can't go forward, dig in and hold your ground. But don't ever sound retreat. Yay. They turned back. Wonder how many in here tonight. Oh, you've not turned back to the world. You're not listening to country and western music. You're not listening to rock music and drinking liquor. You're not watching television. You don't have the boob tube in the house. You're not smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco or dipping snuff. Oh, and if somebody asked you, you'd be like that black fella down at the VA the other day. Oh, preacher, he told me, yes, preacher, I'm saved and sealed and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wonder how many folks would tell me that. But in reality, you've turned back. Oh, preacher, I'm coming to church faithful. But are you seeking God? Oh, Brother Hall, I put my tithe in the offering plate. But are you seeking holiness for your life? Or are you sanctifying yourself by the truth? And he said, thy word is truth. Are you separating yourself more and more all the time from the world? Once they got in Canaan, they had more than the Red Sea between them and Egypt. They had the Jordan River, which is the type of the Holy Ghost. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Huh? They turned back. When they turned back, they did two things. Number one, they tempted God. Listen to what the Lord says in Numbers 14:22. He said, because all those men, this is where they're at Kadesh Barnea. And he said, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. He said, there is all these men. They saw my miracles. They saw my glory. They saw my power. They've watched me work down yonder in Egypt and here in the wilderness. So I watched as the death angel swept through the land, and they watched as the Red Sea parted, and they watched as water came out of the rock. They have seen all my miracles. They've seen my glory on the mountain, and yet they tempted me 10 times. Are you listening to me? Tempted me these 10 times. And have not hearkened unto my voice. He said, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb. Why is old brother Caleb going to see it? Because he has another spirit with him. That's what the Bible said. He's got another spirit. He's not like that crowd. He's got another spirit. Oh, I'm telling you, church, hey, God wants us to have another spirit with us. And it wasn't just Caleb's spirit. I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit of God that was working and moving in Caleb's life. I'm telling you, God wants us to go on with God. I believe that's a clarion call to this church, friend, is to go on with God. Don't sound retreat and wander in the wilderness. There's blessings out there that most of you know nothing about. Hallelujah. Said, there's another spirit with him, and he hath followed me wholly, fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Said, his seed shall possess it. How many of you daddies in here? Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all want your children to possess
that promised land of God. I'm not just talking about heaven. Son, I'm talking about heaven, a little heaven on earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. There can be some heaven on earth.
Yes,
it's like I believe it was. Maybe it was Brother Elliot said, son. No, it was old Brother Davis down there, Gene Davis. He said, heaven will be anywhere Jesus is at. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, Jesus can visit with us right here and we can have a whole lot of heaven right here on this earth. Do you realize that Caleb counted it such a blessing to cross that river and get over into that land that he waited 45 years for that promise from God? And Moses gave him that mountain. They turned and went back into that wilderness, wandered in that wilderness for 40 years and brought them back. Crossed the Jordan into the land, and after 5 more years, the number of grace in the land, Caleb took that mountain that God said he could have. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that it's worth it. Not just heaven. I'm talking about the now and now, but it is worth it right now. It's worth waiting on God for. Amen. Son, these grapes over there, I've said so many times, big enough to suck a goodie out of them, use the peelings for a shire cat, son. These pomegranates big enough to whittle them out, praise God, and use the hull of them for a canoe. Amen. Son, these milk over there are rich. I'm not talking about that 2% stuff looks like spit either. I'm talking about good cow milk, son. Good grade A, pasteurized and homogenized. Amen. I'm going to jump in it past my eyes, too. Somebody get a hold of that after a while. There's honey! There's milk and honey in that land, son. I'm telling you, it's a land that is flowing rich with the blessings of God and the joy of the Holy Ghost and the victories that God wants us to have. But yay, they turned back and tempted God, limited the Holy One of Israel. The word tempted means to test or to prove. You know, they just turned back to see what the Lord would do about it. The second thing, our text says that they limited God. They not only tempted God, but they limited God. And that word simply means that God was grieved. It's equal to our New Testament term, grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. God was saddened. God was grieved because of their doubt, because of their lack of faith in God, because of their lack of confidence, their lack of faith in God's abilities, His power, His provisions, and His blessings upon their life. The Bible said that God was grieved about it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you sit here and you'll shrug it off and think that I'm just an idiot about what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you, some of you here will die one of the most miserable lives that a person can die. Because God will remind you somewhere down the road when it's too late to get to where I'm telling you to that you could have had it. He'll remind you of it, friend, when it's too late to get there. Somebody said, oh, now, Brother Hall, it ain't never too late to get there. I beg to differ with you. After Moses pronounced the judgment, that crowd said, oh, we'll go up. Moses said, don't go up and presume on God. He is not with you to go up.
Right.
They went up and the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the camp. And they got whooped. Bad. And then they went into the wilderness. It was too late. Can you imagine serving God for 40 years knowing that it's too late to have God's best in your life? 40 years of serving God knowing that it's too late to have the best He's got to offer you in your Christian life. God was grieved. He couldn't work among them. He could not work among them the way that He desired. They were the losers, not God. God said, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. Somebody said, oh, poor God. It wasn't God! God being limited, my friend, caused them to be the loser. They were missing out on what God had for them. The fullest that He had, they missed. Oh, I wouldn't want to miss it, and I wouldn't want you to miss it. Nobody. Son, he's got some good things in store. For them that love him, eye hath not seen, neither entered into the ear, or neither entered into the heart of man, what God hath for those that love him.
Woo!
You ain't never seen it, and you've never heard about it. Right? I'm going to tell you, hey, Mo, and I'm going to tell you our problem. Most of us in our spiritual life are always looking for the outward manifestations of God's blessings in our life, when most of God's rich blessings are those moments of peace and joy and tranquility and rest and happiness that He floods that inner man and that heart with. And we're troubled, and the peace like a river sweeps over our soul. When peace, peace, wonderful peace comes down from the Father above. Oh, I'm telling you, church, that's some of the grandest moments and times in our life is when God blesses the inner man and enriches the spiritual life. Oh, my God. And we're not just carnal beings and earthly beings. Son, we're spiritual beings living up on planet Earth. But look out, son. Loosen the rope. I'm about ready to lift off. Hallelujah. I'm going to another world. Spiritual world. Now, I've already said this, but I ain't got the three little points, and I'll be done here in a minute. We ought to be done by 8 o'clock or maybe before. Said they limited the Holy One of Israel. And this is, hey, this is not even the tip of the iceberg. I said over today after I pinned these few little old feeble thoughts down, and other thoughts that we could have took right out of the text just flooded my mind. The provision. They limited God and His provision. They ate man and quail and drank water out of a rock. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. There was a land on the other side that had grapes as big as basketballs. Can you get a hold of that? Son, I'm going to tell you, take one grape, feed me and Miss Hall. That'd big feed us a long time. Milk and honey, corn. Man, every man had his own vine. Every man had his own fig. Glory to God. I'm telling you, son, hey, that's right. That's right. We limited God in provisions. They limited God in His power. That's not what I'm saying. And it's just very simple. They limited God in His blessings. Do you understand tonight that when God saved you, God had a desire to bless you with joy unspeakable and full of glory in your life? Why do we want to limit the blessings that God has in store for us? They limited His blessings. Ephesians 1:3, Brother Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now I'm going to tell you, we're the loser if we don't cash in on that all. Somebody said, "What's that mean in the Greek, Brother Hall?" It means all. Hall said it means all. Somebody said, "How many of them are there?" Oh, if I were to try to reckon God's blessings up in number, they are beyond the number that I can attain to. He's blessed me with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And He loads me down every day with benefits. Wonderful God, wonderful God. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I ain't had all that and I haven't seen it." Get on the other side. That's where they're at, and that's the only place they're at. They limited God and His blessings. I won't say the blessing of the land. You do realize that that land was their inheritance. Will you come in here just a minute? Let me run this by you. For them to fail to inherit that land would be equal to one of us today failing to get to heaven. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. You realize that that land was their inheritance. You realize that it would have been the same if Naboth would have said, "Hey, Ahab, you don't even have to pay me for this. I know it's my inheritance, but it ain't worth fighting for. You can have it." That vineyard was his inheritance, and it was worth giving his life to have. That land was their inheritance, Caleb said, it's worth me going over and fighting them stinking giants. Where is the jolly green giant, son? I'll cut his head off. Amen. That's right, buddy. I'm here to tell you that land, listen what the Bible says about that land in Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 10. It said, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths and springs out of the valleys and hills. Let me ask you something tonight. Why would we want to drink out of cisterns, friend, that can hold no water when God says there's fountains and brooks in the valleys and hills that we can drink out of? That's what we're mostly drinking out of the book. It's just God, we just so backslid on God, bless our hearts, that we just kind of like drinking. When we come to church, we just kind of like drink a little water out of an old stagnant cistern. When we could, but that's right. Hallelujah to God. Driving down through them mountains, down through there, and you see them little like the Pigeon River, and them rivers just a-churning and a-rolling, buddy, coming down out of them hills and valleys of Tennessee and in Virginia and up to where we drove. I'm telling you, friend, God said, I'll bring you to a land that is like that. You can drink the water of life freely in that place. Oh, yes, sir. He said, a land of wheat and barley and wine and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Son, we're bony. We're right bony from lack of good bread, good food, a good spiritual diet. Now, some of you out there ain't bony physically speaking, but I wonder how you are on the spiritual side of it. Amen? That's right. That's right. Said, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Did you hear what he said? I'm telling you that over there where they came back from, God said, there's nothing you'll lack. Nothing. What are you lacking tonight? Satisfaction? Contentment? Peace? Joy? I really believe man gets thoroughly right with God. I don't believe God have a problem blessing him financially. I'm not a health and wealther, but I don't believe God have a problem blessing a man financially. It's right with him. He said, you would not lack anything in it. He said, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. He said, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Did you get a hold of that? God said, when I brought you into that land and you've eaten that land until you are full, it is at that time that you'll bless the Lord for bringing you there. I wonder how long it's been since we heard somebody in the church just throw up their hands and begin to bless God and praise His wonderful name for what God, things God's done in your life. Preacher, I'm full! Preacher, my life is rich. My life is pleasant. My life is wonderful. Because I'm dining over yonder in that land. And look here. Praise is comely for the saints. And he said, I'm going to bring you in there and bless you that you might praise me. And if we're not praising him, maybe because we're not being blessed. And if we're not being blessed, we may not be in the blessed place. You'll catch that in after a while. Hallelujah. That was their inheritance. The Bible said over in the book of Hebrews, they did not enter because of unbelief. Now I'm hurrying. I'll be done in just a minute. So stay with me just a second. I want to say the blessing, not only have they limited him in the blessing of the land, but they limited him in the blessing of life. You realize that those people, hey, he said in Numbers 14:22, he said, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. They missed that life that God had for them. They died. They never enjoyed life at all. I'm just not talking about living. I'm talking about a spiritual life. I'm talking about a separated life. 40 years later, when their children crossed the Jordan, are you listening to me? 40 years later, what did God say when they got to Gilgal? What happened? The reproach of Egypt was rolled away. 40 years they lived under the reproach of that world. They wasn't separated. Separation didn't take place, son. Sanctification didn't really take place. They got on the other side of Jordan. My Baptist brethren wouldn't like that, but that's a fact. I'm not a Nazarene. I'm not one of the twice blessed Nazarenes like Uncle Bud Robinson. But I'm telling you, it's a common fact. I mean, it's a Bible fact, friend, that Jordan River represents. Jordan means a flowing down. It's a type of the Holy Ghost. And they never enjoyed full sanctification or full separation until they got to the other side. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Are you listening to me? We think we're free because we sold out the television, got decent clothes, and our homes, we don't watch TV no more, and we don't wear dresses with slits up them, and we're really separated. They were out of the world. But the wilderness didn't separate them, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be an inward thing. It's got to be a circumcision of the heart. You'll catch that in about 40 years from now, maybe. Hallelujah to God. There's more to separation and more to sanctification than outwardness. I want to say, secondly, they limited God in His banner. I'm about done. They limited God in His banner. Somebody said, this old coop preacher went crazier than a coop. Boy, ain't that a good banner. That blood, that red cross for the blood, and that blue for His royalty. That white for His holiness, purity. They limited His banner. Do you know what the Psalm said in Psalm 60, verse 4? Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of proof. Now look here, I just told you, and then it says Selah. That word banner, you know the first word on that word banner, the first definition means a flag. Hallelujah! And every guidon, every flag, every standard has got a standard bearer that carries that banner. I saw in the paper the other day, and boys on Iwo Jima, setting that American flag up. They would not lay down and give up in the battle until America claimed that hill, hallelujah to God, and the banner, the American flag, was set up on that hill. And those brave men set her there. I wonder who in here tonight the Holy Ghost might be dealing with about taking this old blood-stained banner of the cross, son, and setting her down over yonder in Canaan land and raising her up for His glory. That means a banner. It means a flag. It means a pole. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I've got the pole, Brother Doug. And I've showed you the banner, but you want me to tell you what the real banner is? The pole is the upright of the old rugged cross. Yes. And the banner is the precious Son of God that spread His arms and died on that cross. Now what I'm saying to you tonight, friend, is when they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel, they limited the power of the cross of Christ in their life and what it can do. Hallelujah. That crowd that says you got to work for your salvation. You can lose your salvation. And what they're doing, they're limiting the power of the cross. Don't have enough. It'll save me, but it can't keep me. Bunch of lying, sorry rascals. Need to get thoroughly right with God. What they're doing is limiting the power of the cross. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. We oughtn't to limit the work of Christ upon the cross. It was His full intention to bring them out of that land into that land. And they said, the cross ain't powerful enough to do it. I want to ask you tonight, is it? Is it in your life? Boy, I could go on with these banners. I brought this one out. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the book and the blood and the blessed hope. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. Praise God for the banner of the old rugged cross. Praise God that He saved me and put me in a Baptist church. Praise God that He saved me and put me in America. Hallelujah to God.
I'm not ashamed, not ashamed of the banners that's represented in my life. I'm a child of God first. I'm an American second. I'm a Baptist. Praise God by choice. Bless your heart. Woo! I'm American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. I don't give a flip. They do get mad at me. I'm not Trent Watt. I don't have to say, I didn't mean it. I did mean it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just here. That's where God put me. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, wherever God put us, we ought to bloom there, son. Amen. Every banner has a standard bearer. We the banner, we limit the cross, we limit. He fights on against sin, he fights on against the devil. He fights on against this wicked world that we're living in. And the governments of this world that would do their best to overthrow you and I. And someday, friend, he'll set up that banner in Jerusalem. And you and I will stand there with our shoulders squared back in his presence. I don't want him to look at me and say, there's old Caird. Big chicken, Caird. You wouldn't want to be called a Caird, would you? No, I know y'all better than that. You, this Kentucky crowd, buddy, I know the Kentucky crowd pretty well. Got a lot of grit in your craw, I'm telling you. You've got grit in your craw and you've got grace in your heart. So why do we wander in the wilderness and limit God when we can get over there where the blessings of the land and the blessings of life and the blessings of the banner of the cross of Christ is at? Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, and I'm closing with this. And it ain't one of these literated things. It ain't a leader or a litter. They limited God in His judgment. Listen carefully. When God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush in Exodus 3 and verse 8, He said, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a land and a good land and a large, unto a place flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Now look here. The Lord said, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bring you up out of this land. I'm going to take you over to that land. And when they stood at Kadesh Barnea, yea, and they tempted, turned back. Tempted God, yeah, they limited the Holy One of Israel. You know what they said? Here's exactly what they said. God, I know you said you was going to take us over, but not today. But wait a minute, I know what's best for you. And by the way, God does know what's best for us. I know you realize what's best, but I'm not going to listen to sound judgment. I'm going to go out here and wander around a little while. That man ain't bad. Water in that rock ain't too awful bad. I'll make it out here. Yeah, you'll make it till you die. You'll never see the glories. They never even saw the water at the Jordan part. They never even saw that magnificent miracle. They never ate of the old corn of the land. They missed the walls of Jericho falling down flat. They failed to see God sort out the sin in the camp when Achan sinned against God. Saw God restore the power to them where they could go take Ai and march on into victory. They wasn't there when old Joshua sat down and Caleb said, "Joshua, I want that mountain! And I'm going to give the nether spring to that little girl of mine." Hallelujah. Wouldn't be anybody in here tonight do that. Say, "Preacher, I'm going to get that mountain and I'm going to leave it as an inheritance to my children." Huh? How about it tonight? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited Him in His judgment.
They limited him and his blessings, and they limited him and his battle and his ability to fight their battle for them. Let's stand, please.